Welcome to the ALFI Next Gen Finance Podcast, where as always we delve into the needs and key developments in Luxembourg's fund industry. We're now in season two and already in our third episode, where we're inviting two next geners to share their ideas on hot topics in this space. And in today's episode, we're focusing on the concept of entrepreneurship, or the way in which companies allow or encourage their employees to act like entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Natalie Gerhardstein, and joining me today are our two next geners, Sophia Suissi, Associate Business Development Manager at Banque du Luxembourg, and Mathilde Charlanc, Senior Associate Attorney at Law at Loyens & Loeff. Welcome.
Hi, thanks, Natalie.
Thank you so much, Natalie.
So before we get started, we'd like to hear a little bit more about each of you. I'll start with you, Sophia.
Yes, sure. So I'm Sophia Suissi. I grew up in France, just a short drive from Luxembourg, and I began my professional journey at Banque du Luxembourg in 2022. So for those who may not be familiar, Banque du Luxembourg is one of the country's leading private banks, not only known for strong values and long-term client relationships, but also for well-established expertise in asset servicing, hence my presence here today. And I started out in the relationship management team within our asset servicing business line when I had the chance to work closely with both public and private asset funds. And then last summer, I had the opportunity to transition into our business development team, still within our depository bank until today.
Okay, congratulations. And how about you, Mathilde?
Thanks, Natalie. So I'm Mathilde Charlanc. I'm originally from France, and I started my career with Loyens here in Luxembourg in 2018. Though I've been mainly based in Luxembourg, I also spent 2 years in our London office post the pandemic period. Loyens is a leading European law firm, and they are specialized on the structuring and the launch of alternative investment funds. Globally, we have 1,500 professionals working 9 offices, and here in Luxembourg, our current headcount is around 250.
Okay, well, welcome. I think it's the first time we've had the same nationality for our two speakers because we have such a diverse, multicultural, multilingual country that we live in. So, but welcome both, and thanks for being here today. What does entrepreneurship mean to you, and how does it differ from traditional entrepreneurship?
So for me, entrepreneurship is really about making an impact from the inside. So it's having the mindset of an entrepreneur, but within the structure of a big organization. And what I really find exciting is the idea of adding your own brick to a wall that's already being built, but that can constantly be reshaped. So it's participating into something that existed before you and that will hopefully continue to grow after you. So basically, you're contributing to a bigger story, but you still get to influence it in your own way.
That's well put.
Yeah, I fully resonate with what you say, Sophia. To me, entrepreneurship is really building something from the ground up. And with entrepreneurship, we apply the mindset and the skills of an entrepreneur within an existing organization. And as we will further discuss today, I'm sure, to me, it thrives on management openness to new ideas and initiative from members of the organization. And I think that it's all about unlocking the full potential of members of an existing organization.
Okay, I'm excited to get started then. So let's talk a little bit about the environment. And in your opinion, what kind of culture or leadership mindset really helps entrepreneurship thrive in large organizations? And what role would you say that management support would play in enabling that?
Mm-hmm. So maybe if I may start, I think it really starts with a culture of trust. It's about creating a space where people feel empowered to propose, to experiment, and yes, sometimes to fail as well. That's where the leadership comes in. I think leaders should really actively foster an environment where collaborators know their ideas are valued and where the right to fail is understood as being part of the innovation process. But without that psychological safety net, I believe very little could grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Trust is really key, I think, in order for professionals to be empowered to explore new ideas and also exchanging perspective within the organization. This is why I think, we're both French today, but I think that in order for an organization to work, I think we need also both a diverse and inclusive environment. And the role of management is really crucial in my view, because management has to shape and define a vision for the organization first and also to openly communicate about it. But I don't think that management should predefine every step of the way towards the achievement of such vision, mm-hmm. but rather invite members to meaningfully contribute, even if in a diverse environment, this will lead to debate. But I really think that through this exchange, the best idea would be found, the best initiative, and all of this should win eventually.
Okay, well thought. Thank you. Was there a defining moment when you realized that change was possible or even necessary within your own organization?
I wouldn't say there was a defining moment, but I definitely noticed it quite early, actually. What really struck me was how much value was placed on input from all levels of our organization, whether through employee surveys or cross-departmental working groups. I would say everyone is encouraged to contribute at their own level. And maybe just to give you a very concrete example, I'm currently involved in a next-gen working group at bank level, which is focused on ESG initiatives linked to our B Corp certification. And we get the chance to report directly to senior leadership. So I would say that kind of access sends a clear message within an organization, which is we all have a voice in shaping our company's future.
Mm-hmm. Is it similar to Loin's as well?
Yes, it is. And to me, there is a particular moment. And if I may maybe here provide some background. So we conduct regular surveys where we invite members of the organization to give feedback on the way the organization is functioning at a particular moment in time. And I can recall that a few years ago, following the sharing of the feedback of the survey, we were invited to discuss the survey and the insights in small working groups. And not only I think it was really great to be able to exchange on the results, but also concrete initiatives followed from such such exchange, such as an enhanced internal communication, but also, for example, the creation of a support group for parents. So I think it's really an example of on how management can listen around, exchange, and thereafter act upon it.
Okay, great, yeah. Thank you. Have you personally experienced resistance to change when you've proposed new ideas? And if so, how did you manage or cope with that?
Sure, I think we all have in our career, but I think that in an organization that has an empowerment mindset, the resistance is more about challenging an idea. And I think here that the role of the manager mentors is really to challenge and question an idea to make sure that it is relevant and also to improve it. So I think it's really important to have an open dialogue and also as an entrepreneur within an organization to be able to receive feedback, mm-hmm. because this is how you grow at a personal level, but also more broadly for the organization.
And that's not always so easy sometimes, taking on the feedback.
You have to work on it, but yeah, I think it's worth a try, okay. Definitely.
Yeah, I would more definitely agree with you, Mathilde. And maybe to add on to that, I haven't personally faced strong resistance, but I think it's inherent to human nature, right? To be a bit cautious about change, and people tend to gravitate towards what they know because it feels comfortable. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because it can ensure that new ideas are properly challenged, as you mentioned, Mathilde. And what I appreciate, for instance, about my current environment is that new ideas aren't dismissed right away. Instead, they're discussed, challenged constructively, and eventually improved. So that dynamic, I would say, creates better outcomes for everyone at the end.
How do you identify the right opportunities for innovation within complex, structured organizations? And are there strategies or frameworks that are put in place that allow new ideas to be tested and implemented?
Mm-hmm. I would say there is no one-size-fits-all answer to that question. Innovation often comes from a combination of attentiveness and timing as well within, again, the appropriate environment. That's why a supportive space is so critical. Because when people feel safe to share, even a small observation can become a game-changing idea. So there isn't necessarily always a specific framework for that, but it's more about staying open, listening actively, and recognizing potential whenever and wherever it shows up.
Yeah, I fully agree with you, Sophia, and we both mentioned earlier, I think surveys, I think it's still a useful tool to gather feedback, but we also need to ensure that there is ongoing dialogue within the organization, so it can be through one-on-one meetings or smaller working groups, because on one hand, this will ensure to make sure that members remain engaged with the organization and its vision, but also to make sure that we still gather valuable perspectives and we can then act act upon them.
Mm-hmm. And what advice would you give to someone in a junior role who wants to start making a difference within their organizations?
I would advise a junior person to really strive for excellence and growth in his or her work, but not only at personal level, but also thinking about your team and what can be done for your organization more broadly. I think that with this, you will build the confidence and the mindset that will drive you making change happen internally.
Mm-hmm. And don't wait for permission to have ideas. I would say ask questions, challenge the status quo, respectfully, of course, and try to connect with people outside your immediate team. I think it's really key, especially within a large organization. Innovation often starts with a fresh eye, and as a junior, your new perspective is a huge asset. So I would say, don't be afraid to use it. And most of all, try to enjoy the process. I mean, making a difference should be energizing and engaging, not necessarily intimidating.
I like the idea that you say, don't wait for the permission, because I think this is something that I've seen change in my own career over the years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So well put, thank you. If you could change one thing about big organizations' approach to innovation, what would it be?
I would encourage maybe more cross-functional collaboration and dialogue across levels. I mean, I think that was really key in the exchange we just had. Too often, I would say teams tend to work in silos, and then it makes it harder for everyone to get to see the big picture. And when people understand how the organization functions as a whole, what's the purpose, then they can come up with smarter and more connected ideas. And innovation shouldn't just come from the top down. I mean, some of the best ideas I've heard and seen being implemented have come from unexpected places. And organizations should be structured in a way to catch them wherever they arise.
Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting what you just said, Sophia. And to me, I apologize if it will sound repetitive maybe a bit to the audience, but to me, it's all about having open communication and an approachable management within big organizations, that to cultivate radical transparency and idea meritocracy, because I fully resonate with you here, Sophia, and also with Ray Dalio when he says in principles that the best idea should win regardless of hierarchy.
Okay, great. Thank you both. These are all great ideas, and we hope this has inspired our listeners today to take on some entrepreneurship within their own organizations. Our episode today is coming to a close, but on behalf of Alfie and our listeners today, thank you for sharing your perspectives, Sophia and Mathilde. It's great to have you today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, feel free to check out the rest in this series as well. The Alfie Finance Next Gen podcast series is available on both the Alfie website at alfie.lu and can also be found on paperjam.lu. Alfie Next Gen Finance, connecting today's talent with tomorrow's investment fund leaders.